Hey folks, welcome to the Sermons Podcast of Christ Church at Grove Farm. Whether it's your first time or you've been here since the beginning, we are thrilled to be a part of your spiritual walk and look forward to all that Christ is doing in your life. If you are looking for more information about Christ Church or you would like to connect with one of our pastors or ministry leaders, you can reach us on our website, ccgf.org. You can also connect with us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Here is this week's message. Grace and peace to you.
What a joy to be together on this Christmas Day. I want to thank Pastor Barry and Kathy for leading our worship together on this quiet Christmas Day morning. It's a lovely occasion for us to be together and to celebrate in a very quiet, maybe somewhat reserved manner, but with a kind of reflective and devotional heart to it. We are here together to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, our living Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord Jesus, it's hard to imagine how dark this world would be had you not come. Thank you for the light shining in the darkness and still shining in the darkness of this world. Continue to illumine us as we reflect now on your love for us in coming to be our Savior. The brilliance and amazing transformation of you from God on high in glory to a baby suckling at his mother's breast. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for humbling yourself and making that vast journey from deity to our humanity. It's hard for us to even begin to conceive of it. But now here you are, our risen Lord and Savior, and we're speaking to you, and I ask you, Lord, in your mercy, please, to take my lips and speak through them, to take our minds and think through them, to take our wills and bend them to your own, and to take our hearts, Lord Jesus, and set them on fire with love for yourself. We pray this for your name's sake. Amen. Well, a couple of introductory comments. One is this. I did not go to church as a little boy growing up, but we did have religious instruction in our schools. And Mr. Hood was our math teacher, our history teacher, and from time to time we would read the Bible and he would make some comment about it in the classroom. And I remember this. He said, for Jesus to be born into this world as a human being, he said, this is not even a parallel illustration, but as close as we could get to understanding the step down from heaven into our humanity. He said it would be as if we human beings became a worm. I've never, ever forgotten that. The condescension of Christ, how magnificent was his existence in glory, worshipped, adored, ordering things alongside the Father and the Holy Spirit in this magnificent creation, that he would become one of us with a view to delivering us from our sin and hopelessness and the darkness that is inherent in our not being related to God rightly. And the second is this memory that my wife and I comment on and have done already several times this Christmas. The first time we went to Israel, to the Holy Land, we arrived in Jerusalem somewhere early in the afternoon, had the opportunity to gather some rest, having flown through the night. And then coming up as evening fell, to go to Bethlehem, which is not that far from Jerusalem. So our first real expedition into the Holy Land was to go to Bethlehem. So we all piled onto the bus and we went to Bethlehem and actually went to the Shepherd's Field, which is very close. YMCA runs this operation. There's a YMCA building there. I've not been into the building, but I know that they have authority and responsibility for the Shepherd's Field. And by the time we were there, it was night and dark. And we worshipped in these caves, candle lit, and celebrated communion. And then we walked back out from these caves, out to the bus, and Kathy and I lingered and stood there alone, rest of the crowd moving on, and imagined that first night with the shepherds. And we sang a carol together. And imagined the angelic host gathered around. And that's a memory that we both cherish, because in tears we celebrated the announcement of the birth of Jesus right there in the shepherd's field. So with those two introductory thoughts, I want to come to the massive, amazing ministry of Jesus in becoming one of us. We had read for us by Pastor Barry one of the prophecies concerning his coming, Isaiah chapter 9. So unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he shall be, and now you hear the music, he shall be called, or call it, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And just earlier in the same prophet's words, this amazing revelation, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. The meaning of the word and name Emmanuel. The whole birth of Jesus and his entrance into the world, as with all creation and everything that God has ever done and touched, is what we call miraculous, supernatural, beyond nature, is not explicable in natural terms. And we've gone through the phases of trying to humanize Jesus and understand his humanity. But he never ever surrendered his divinity. And the glory of the Lord that shone around at the declaration of his birth with the angelic host was supernatural. First, the angel came, singular, and declared that Jesus was born to the shepherds, that he was born in Bethlehem and they could go find him and see him. And that description of the birth of Jesus, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, the humility of it, the humanity of it, but declared by an angel. And then all of a sudden, the angelic host around, singing praise. As Pastor Craig mentioned across our sermons for Christmas Eve, the first choir assembled to sing praise concerning Jesus. The whole thing supernatural, amazing. Let me mention several things to encourage us in our faith here this morning, draw out our hearts to the Lord in admiration and wonder. The first is this, that the coming of Jesus was prophesied. Who he would be, what he would do, where he would be born, 330 different prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus. And of course, a couple of those prophecies announced here this morning. Born of a virgin, named Emmanuel, God with us. Then all those titles ascribed to him, and including being the Almighty Father, as well as the Prince of Peace. A man by the name of Peter Stoner, scientist and scholar, he wrote a book, Science Speaks. I own that little book sitting on my desk right now. One of my daughters looked it up online, and that little book is selling for over $1,000 online. It's so precious, so limited, and I happen to have a copy of it. In fact, when my son-in-law discovered that, he said, "Before you go, we'd better check your library out. We don't want to be giving away too much money with the library," was the implication of what he was saying. But Stoner points this out, working with a group of fairly scholarly young people. And I don't have time to spell that all out. But here is the conclusion, that to take eight only of those 300 plus prophecies of Jesus, eight of them, and that they would be fulfilled in one man, the Messiah, at one time, that time in history, the chances of that happening, just eight of those prophecies, is 1 in 10 One in 10 to the 17th power. That's 17 zeros beyond the 1 in 10. It's hard to grasp what that is, but he spelled it out. If you were to take a silver dollar and mark it, the number of silver dollars in the odds against you in the state of Texas, walking out into the state of Texas and picking up that silver dollar, would be that Texas is covered to a depth of 2 feet with silver dollars. And that one you have marked is somewhere in Texas amongst all those silver dollars. That's 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Those are the odds against one man fulfilling only 8 of the prophecies at the time Jesus fulfilled them all. Those are the odds against it happening. But the happening was supernatural, as were the prophecies. Only God could pull that off. God at work in history. And incidentally, at that time, and I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but that Caesar Augustus would call for a census throughout the whole of the Roman Empire, and that Quirinius would be the governor of that Holy Land at the time of it happening. That to move Jesus in the womb before he was born from Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived and where the angels came to reveal that they were to have this baby, to move him in the womb from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where he was prophesied to be born, the Caesar, the one worshipped as a god in the Roman Empire, called for a census. Quirinius, a Roman governor, supervised it. And Mary and Joseph, engaged to be married, moved from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that one more prophecy could be fulfilled, that Jesus the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Our God is Lord. He is the Lord of history. Nothing escapes his notice. And the miracle of Christ born in Bethlehem is preceded by these other miracles, supernatural happenings to fulfill the supernatural prophecies of Scripture. So be encouraged. When we read God's word and enter into our own imagination, thinking through the drama of redemption, as one theologian has called it, it's all a miracle of God's loving grace to us. And no less so this morning, that we are gathered here and worshiping together and singing these magnificent hymns, carols, in honor of him. And that we would celebrate Holy Communion together. Isn't it interesting? I mean, it's beyond interesting. It's like staggering that we celebrate the birth of Jesus by celebrating his death together. Because Holy Communion is about Jesus dying on the cross and fulfilling yet another prophecy. Isaiah chapter 53. And that by his stripes we would be healed. And that the judgment and punishment we deserved would be upon him. That we might be forgiven. Again, another prophecy. But this time not about his birth, but about his death. As with others in Psalm 22, where he is crucified, speaking about his hands being pierced and his feet being pierced, and not a bone being broken, and his mouth dried up like a potsherd, and Jesus crying out, "I thirst," on the cross, the fulfillment of yet another prophecy. Jesus was born to deliver us. That was the declaration of the angels in Luke chapter 2. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. And the statement that he had been born was preceded by this declaration. As the glory of the Lord shone around and they were terrified, he said, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to you and all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ, Messiah, the Lord." The very announcement that the baby born was to be Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer, to rescue us, deliver us from our sin, to make the gift of eternal life possible by bearing the judgment we deserve, that we might be forgiven. Do you know what a treasured gift forgiveness is? Of course you do. But I want to refresh your own sense of what forgiveness is. It's a real gift that God himself would make it possible for you to be completely forgiven. Without forgiveness, there's no beginning again. Without forgiveness, we bear constantly, daily, moment by moment, the guilt and shame and burden of all our failures, sinful failures, degrading failures, antagonistic revolution against God, sinfulness, and how we hurt each other. Sin always brings division and destruction. When Jesus spoke by way of a parable, he spoke about the thief coming amongst the flock to kill and destroy. Sin always destroys. It destroys our personal identity and dignity. It degrades we who have been created by God to be like God in his image. It perverts us, corrupts us, fouls us, stains us, fills us with guilt and shame and disgust. And the people we hurt, the things we say, sometimes inadvertently, sometimes very deliberately in order to hurt. The statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is a lie. Your bones heal. There are things that have been said to you or by you to someone else that have never been forgotten. I go back to things said to me in my childhood. I still get upset about them, and I have to go to the Lord and deal with it all over again. And it was John Guest who was being denigrated, belittled, mocked. 1 could go on, but the humanity in which we live with our sin, if there were never any forgiveness, can you imagine how ugly and horrible life would be? Husbands and wives and parents and kids and friends and workmates. Forgiveness is an absolute essential to any kind of health or joy or peace. And the epitome of forgiveness comes to us in Jesus, born to be a Savior. From the cradle to the cross to the crown, Jesus, our Redeemer. That same Jesus is here this morning, loving each one of us as much as he loved us the day he died for us. He loves you. He really loves you and offers you again a complete new start. And when we acknowledge before him and surrender to him as if at the cross and acknowledge that he is our Savior, that he has died to pay for our sins. And as we will rehearse the words again, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Inhale his grace. Grace beyond all the human antagonism of our sin, to the divine offense that it is against God, against his holiness, against who he is, an indignity against him. And we're not only disgusting ourselves, but the guilt cries up to heaven like blood shed. Our guilt. But Jesus has assuaged all that, paid for all that, that we might be forgiven. Forgiven. Oh, thank you, Lord. The night I asked Jesus into my life as an 18-year-old was the first time in my whole life, as far as I could remember, being a young man, the first time I had ever felt clean on the inside. May God grant us that gift, refreshed, renewed, and reveled in here for us this morning. If you are able, let me ask you to kneel. Otherwise, bow your heads and your hearts in the presence of the Lord. when you go to the place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, people kneel down and kiss the ground in this little memorial that's there to where God Almighty was born into this world as a little baby. And when you move on from there to Calvary, to kneel at the cross and say, Father, forgive me. And to thank the Lord Jesus, see yourself there now, bowed before him. He's looking at you. Loving you. O Lord Jesus, thank you for your birth into this world. Thank you for the miracle of it, the miracle of your atoning death on the cross, the supernatural gift of forgiveness. Through your execution, your blood poured out, your life laid down for me. Each of us says, thank you, Lord, for loving me, coming for me, dying for me, revealing yourself to me. Thank you for this celebration, which brought all that to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please receive me. Receive my repentance. Receive my guilt and shame. And lift the stain. Though our sins be as scarlet, deep dyed and stained, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.